Amen. I pray you never lose that spirit of fellowship and of love that I've already seen here in this church. So thank you so much for your open arms. Thank you for letting me preach my second sermon of all time here in this church. I was going to make a joke about that, but I think that's a joke in and of itself. So my first time was at my home church, Vian Missionary Baptist Church in Vian, Oklahoma. And you're going to get the same sermon that I preached there because this is my second time. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to preach on something that I don't know if you guys struggle with, but something that I struggle with a lot, and something that I want churches to be aware of, and I think something needs to be taught. So Acts chapter 5, if you would stand in reverence to our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 says this: "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we come to you now, Lord, with open hearts. Lord, I pray that all hearts and minds would be open. I pray that the words that I speak, Lord, through you would, Lord, convict those and others around me. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the words to speak, and Lord, I pray that we would leave this place, Lord, with peace, Lord, with an understanding of your word. And it's in Jesus' most holy, most precious name that I pray now. Amen. You may be seated. One of the biggest things I struggle with whenever I get up to preach, or that I knew I'd struggle with when I came up, was talking very, very fast. So I am sorry in advance because I talk very fast, but I'm trying to get over that. Okay, the one thing I want to see in this verse of scripture, these verses, is dishonesty in the church. I remember the first time when I was dishonest, if you can remember it, the first time I legitimately thought in my head that, wow, what I've been doing was a lie. I was, in case you didn't know, my father is Aaron Heflin, and he used to preach in Ardmore. And when I was very young, younger than most of these kids up here, but I was 7 years old or 6 years old at the time, and my sister, Brooke, had a bunch of toys in her room, and she had this little pet purse. She had this little purse she would put all her toys in. And so one day I went in there, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do something really mean. I'm going to do something really funny. I thought it was going to be funny at the time, but I went in, and I loaded up a bunch of her toys in her little purse. Right? It was like 15 toys or something. She had a bunch, right? And so I loaded up all these toys, and then I went to the living room, and the one thing my mom hated was a messy house, a messy living room with all her toys. And I went out, and I splattered that purse everywhere, and the toys went absolutely everywhere. Then I ran to my room. No one was in the living room. I ran to my room. Like, I probably read a book or something just to make myself seem even more innocent, because I didn't even read books back then. But I probably picked up a book, and I probably acted like I wasn't doing anything. But then here comes mom going down the hallway. She said, hey, do you know who spread out all these toys right here? I was like, nope, that was Brooke. And she was like, all right, I believe you. And then she walked out of the room. I was like, wow, she believed me. I just straight up lied, and she believed me. So I was like, I'm sorry, that was me. And she was like, it's okay. Now pick up the toys and put them back. I was like, okay, that's what I'll do. But what we see here in Acts chapter 5 isn't that innocent of the lying and the dishonesty that we had. The dishonesty that we see in chapter 5 is that of stealing basically from God. If you would, look back with me to verses 33. Chapter 4, verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any of them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold." So the custom back then was the people of the church came together and they would sell their possessions and sell their lands. They would take this money and they would give it back to the apostles. Now, in this chapter we gave it back to the church with the apostle Peter. And that brings me to my first point, is Joseph. Now, if you will look at chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now, this is why they wanted to give their money and their possessions up to Jesus Christ so they would see the glorification of Jesus Christ. Now let's see in verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now here we see a man named Joseph, and he went and he sold all that he had, gave up all the money, and he gave it to the apostles. He took all the money, all of his land, sold it, took that money, and he gave it to the apostles that the apostles might use it to the glorification of God and help others around them. And that's the first thing I want to see. We now see who Joseph is, but I want to see Joseph's giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I kind of think I want to be in the mentality of Joseph whenever I give myself up to God or if I give myself up in the church. I want to have, you know, everything that I have, and I want to give it to God. Amen. Everything that I have, if that means selling my possessions and giving it to God, then I want to have full faith in God that he will do that for us. Secondly, in verse 37, it talks about Joseph's love. Joseph's love for the church and for God was his motivation. That was his motivation behind giving to the apostles, right? Joseph's love for seeing people saved and so seeing that, knowing in the faith that his money will go faithfully and that his time and efforts would go into seeing souls saved was his motivation. And then we see in verse 36, we see Joseph's future. Now, we know from this verse that Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. Now, the apostles gave a nickname to Joseph. They called him the son of consolation, which is Barnabas. Now, when you read further down in the text, further down in the chapters of Acts, we see that Paul and Barnabas came together and they went out and did great things. And I think that's the same Barnabas that we see here. The son of consolation, the son of encouragement. Joseph encouraged the apostles so much that they nicknamed him the son of encouragement. I hope to one day be called the son of encouragement, because that would be a great honor to know that when I'm giving of myself, well, like when you see that guy down the road, you say, wow, that he's an encouragement. I mean, he's an encouragement to me. Whenever I see him, he gives me love and he shows me that I'm great with God and I need to be better with God. I think what Joseph was ultimately doing was pointing himself back to Jesus. And I thought that was really cool because it's Joseph and Jesus. I almost got it mixed up every time I read it. I'm like, Joseph? No, it's Jesus. Okay. So the first thing we see of Jesus, the first recognition we see of him is in Matthew 1:21. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, we can compare Joseph and Jesus because Jesus gave of himself. Just like how Joseph gave of his money and of his time and of his wealth, Jesus gave of himself everything that he had for us. Matthew 27:50 says, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us that we might have eternal life. And just like that, Joseph gave of his time and of his money, of his love to the local church, gave to the apostles so that they might see the goodness and the graciousness of God. So not only that, we see, secondly, the actions of the dishonest. Now here's what I really want to get into, the good stuff. Acts chapter 5, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. So this is just like in verses 35 and 36 that Joseph had given of himself, and he sold himself, and he sold his belongings and gave to the church. Now, we see a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, they gave of themselves, and they gave their money to the local church. But we see that it was dishonestly. Verse 2 says this, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they sold this money, and they said, dear God, no, they didn't pray to God. They said, you know what, we have this money, and let's say it was $1,000. And they sold this money for $1,000, and they said, all right, well, you know what, I don't think we need to get all of this to Christ, because I think we can just store like $200 of this away, and we can bring this back for emergencies, right? But the lie was when they said, okay, this is all we have, right? They give away this $800, and they literally lied to the Holy Ghost and said, all right, now we're giving all that we have to you, and we're going to get blessed from this. Because not just because we have this nest egg over here, but because We're giving all that we have. We're showing all that we have. And this land that we sold, this is all that we have from it. I think they saw the motivation of Joseph. They saw that he was being loved and adored by the apostles. He was being named the son of consolation. And they said, I want to be a nickname. I want to be praised by man and not by God. I want to be praised by Jesus. I want to be praised by Joseph and by the other apostles and by Peter. But God gave Peter the sight to see what was actually happening behind Ananias and Sapphira. For secondly, we see the motivation of Ananias and Sapphira. Just like we said, the motivation behind Ananias and Sapphira was that they wanted to get glorification from man and glorification from the church, ultimately, not from Jesus Christ. I learned this morning that everything that we do has to point up back to Christ. When we get in a relationship, everything should be pointed right back to Christ. And if we give of ourselves to the church and we give of ourselves financially, if we give of ourselves whole to Jesus Christ, it needs to be pointed right back to Jesus Christ. Because if we give of ourselves for glorification and pridefulness of this world and the men of the church and the congregation of the church, then ultimately our motivation is in the wrong place. And lastly, on this point, we see the future of Ananias and Sapphira. Look at me down in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Now, this is a pretty drastic consequence for what happened to Ananias, is it not? I mean, he came up and lied to the congregation, and the congregation was like, wow, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money you just gave to us, and you're doing it wholeheartedly. Wow, we should praise you. But Peter said, Ananias, why are you lying to the apostles? Why are you lying to us right here? Why are you lying to God? Because you sell back part of this money, you're not giving all that you are. You've lied to us. And he even confronted him. He said, "If you need a change. You need to give up all that you have to Jesus Christ. Because listen, we're here to help others. But if you're not here to help others, then you're just hindering us. Because I believe that Satan saw that Ananias and Sapphira found dishonesty in their heart. And he crept his way into it. And that's how dishonesty ultimately got into the church. But Peter stopped it right there. He said, okay, we're not doing that here. All right, let's look at verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. So not only was it Ananias who suffered this consequence of death, but it was also Sapphira, his wife. Because ultimately, just like in the Garden of Eden, when two people sin together, bad things can come about. Just like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they brought forth this ultimate consequence of death passed down through mankind. And we see here that when Ananias and Sapphira sinned against God, that they brought forth death upon themselves. And while I think God may not necessarily straight up kill us, I think in our hearts we will be spiritually dead if we don't give ourselves up to Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. When we give ourselves up to the church and up to ourselves, when we put ourselves down and we give ourselves up to Jesus Christ, all that we are and all that we have and what he's called us to give and what he calls us to be, that's when we find our greatest joy and our greatest fulfillment in Christ. Dishonesty in the Lord's name brought forth immediate death, because dishonesty, it was Satan working, and Satan worked through Ananias and Sapphira in the way of dishonesty, and he subtly went in and he put this little thing in his mind. He said, okay, you know what? God's not going to provide for you. God's not going to provide for you if you give all that you have, because if you give all you have, you'll have nothing left. Nothing left means nothing. If you're going to try to go out and go buy something at the market and come back, take to your home, you're not going to have anything because you gave it all to God. So you want to keep back a little bit back, right? Satan worked in their mind and said in his thoughts, Ananias and Sapphira, you need to keep some of the money back. And ultimately, that brought forth death. What I want to stress to you today is that dishonesty back then is the same as dishonesty today. Just as Satan worked in the Garden of Eden, just as he worked in the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira, he works in the hearts of us today. I heard something the other day that said, Satan hasn't changed his tactics. We're just not seeing when he's doing it wrong, right? Satan's going to try to work his way into this church and into the church of God. When we're striving and we're trying to be all that we are for Jesus Christ and for the glorification of Jesus, and we would see souls saved, Satan's going to try to mock his way in. He's going to be knocking at the door. And if we have a heart of dishonesty, then he can creep in. If we have a heart of dishonesty and say, okay, this is all I have, and I'm giving all of myself, I'm doing all these things, I've gone to church camp, I've done all the outreach every week, but if your heart is not honest and you're not giving all glorification to Christ, then you're letting Satan creep in the walls of this church. And I want to stress to you now not to do that. I want to stress to you to repent of your sins and to realize that, okay, Jesus Christ, I need to come to you and realize that all that I do to you is open up my heart. I need to open up my heart to you. I need to open up and have a heart of truth, have a heart of love, and have a heart of compassion. For even the Son of Man came not to seek, but to save. Because that's who we're ultimately working towards. Our goal is to see souls saved, but if Jesus Christ isn't, if the devil is in our hearts, then how can we fulfill the work of Jesus Christ? And thirdly, I want you to see that I just want to show you some of the effects of dishonesty today. Not necessarily the effects, but I just want you to see where the devil may be trying to get into our lives through dishonesty. Now, it might not be literally in the walls of the church where he's getting into us. When we go out into the world and we're not godly is when Satan starts to put those little thoughts in our mind. And when we start to see that maybe Jesus Christ isn't all that he says he is, that's when we start to get those bad thoughts in our head. So first, I want to talk about in you. How are you living honestly with yourself, and how are you living dishonestly sometimes? So first, I want to see the giving. How are you giving of yourself to God? Are you every night, every morning, are you giving yourself devotion time and not TV time? Are you giving yourself up to Jesus Christ and looking up at the cross and looking down at the Bible to look at the cross? Or are you just waiting for the next season to come up on your TV? When we go out into the world, we need to be shining lights, right? Don't hide under a bushel. No, because Satan hides in the TV. Trust me, just turn on the news. So I want you to see that when you live your life giving yourself devotion time, and when you're giving of yourself to the glorification of God, and when you're giving of yourself, when you want to go see souls saved, and when you're reading your Bible and studying out his word, and your mind starts to change, and you see things differently because of Jesus Christ, that's when you're honest with yourself. That's when you are completely honest with God. That's when you find peace and joy. How are you giving of yourself the offering in your local church? Did you know that the church says to give to your local church? Brother Steve said something about me, my very first sermon, preaching about giving. So he said, someone said I was going to be really rich one day. I don't know. I'm just here to praise God. but we should, as congregation and of the local church, give of ourselves money because Jesus Christ said so. If we're not giving ourselves with a cheerful heart and cheerfully and givingly giving like we should with a loving heart, then we need to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, God, I'm giving you all that I am. I'm giving you all that I trust myself with. I give you all, not that I trust myself with, but I'm trusting you in all that I do. Secondly, is your motivation in God? Are you giving God your problems and not holding on to them? Now, I'm going to be honest with you for a second. I struggle a lot with holding on to my problems and not giving them up. I struggle a lot with anxiety because whenever the devil starts to get into your mind and you start to overthink a lot of the problems, that's when it's hard to really turn around and sit down and say, okay, God, I need you right now. I need you right now. That's when it's hardest, because that's the devil working in you in the world. Whenever you're not studying like you should, whenever you go like 2 days skipping it, that's when the thoughts start to creep back in, right? Whenever you're not giving of yourself to God and your motivation isn't behind Jesus Christ, that's when you start to live like you shouldn't be. That's when you start to have the thoughts that you shouldn't be. And you need to come to the place where you repent and say, dear God, please, I need your help. Are you letting God give you peace and not stressing or worrying? That goes along with the last thing I said, but Letting God give you peace is one of the best things in the entire world, because Jesus Christ came to give us peace, and Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God that we get through Jesus Christ, it passes all understanding. We don't understand it, because all these problems that we try to take on, all these problems that we take on, we don't understand it. And all these, the peace of God, which we don't understand either, we just give it over to God, right? We don't understand how we get peace, but we understand that it'll keep our hearts and our minds peace. We'll have peace. And let me tell you, friends, it can happen. Because when you give of yourself and your motivation is behind Jesus Christ, then you can find the peace and the strength that you need. Are you listening to godly music instead of music of this world? This is also something I struggle with, because I'm a very musical person. I love listening to music. I love playing music. Anything about music, I just love. But whenever you start to let the music of the world and not the music that's here to glorify Jesus Christ come into your heart, is when you start to get some of those anxiety problems. Whenever you start to get the problems of not coming back to church, whenever you want to go to the concerts of this world and not come to the congregation of the church, is when you see the problems arise in your heart. And that's how Satan can creep his way into your heart, and that's how Satan can creep his way into this church. Because if our hearts are not pure and our hearts are not strengthened in Jesus Christ, that's when we see that Satan creeps into the churches. Not only that, but let's look at your future. What are you doing for God in regards to eternity? Are you ministering to others and to yourself? And you're not doing it selfishly. I know a lot of people that they say they profess to be Christians, but they're doing it selfishly because of the sins of the world. They said that not what Ananias and Sapphira were doing. They were looking at the praise of Joseph and what he was doing, great things for God, ultimately giving himself to the apostles who were giving themselves to God. Are we giving of ourselves, ministering to others? Are we not doing it selfishly like Ananias and Sapphira? Because ultimately that brought about death. And ultimately, when we let the problems into our heart and we just manifest and we let them work in our mind, is when it brings forth death. Because sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. Are you daily walking and not starting? I like saying that, not starting. I couldn't come up with a better term. Not starting. Are you daily walking and you're not starting? Let me rephrase that. Are you not saved? Because listen, you cannot start your race with Jesus Christ if you don't know Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, he's your personal Savior, say amen. 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 Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he saved you, friend. So you need to run your race. But you're not going to run your race. You're going to run it like a marathon. Every day you're going to wake up and say, okay, dear God, in my devotion time today, I pray that you would just show me what it is you want me to know this week. Pray what it is you want me to change in my life. Maybe I've been selfishly giving. Maybe I've been doing the things of the world. Maybe listening to godly music. But what I want you to know is that God is faithful, and he will forgive you. And you can repent of your sins. And through Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for your sins is the only way to salvation and to eternal life. Are you praying? Are you not avoiding praying? Because whenever you come up to pray and say, okay, dear God, sometimes it's hard to pray. Sometimes you come to Jesus Christ and you're like, oh, God, today was a hard day. You know, I had all these things at work, at school today. I had these people talking to me. They had all these questions, and I just didn't know how to answer them about Jesus Christ and about the Bible. They're just confused. But you can't let go of your problems if you don't talk about them. Whenever you let go and you talk about your problems to God, whenever you pray to God and say, okay, dear God, I give you my problems, Lord. I give you all that I am. I give you whatever my future may entail for me. I give you what I am. And Lord, I pray you'd be with me. I pray you daily walk with me and show me in my devotion time what it is I need from you. Because when we pray is when we have the heart that we need for Jesus Christ. And not only in ourselves, but lastly, in church. Are we giving of ourselves in church? Now, how are you giving of yourself to the local church? We talked about offering, but not just offering. Are you humbly teaching and not pridefully teaching? Because Jesus called us to be teachers, to teach others, to teach the lost, and to teach the saved. But just watch out for your pride. Because sometimes we come out and we teach others and we're filled with all this knowledge of Jesus Christ. We study the word every day, and then we go out and we try to teach in our Sunday school maybe. But let's not let pride get in the way of that. Let's not say, oh, I am holier than thou. Let's not bring that into the equation. Let's just say, we serve a mighty God, we serve a mighty Savior, and let's praise him by learning more about him. Amen. Let us praise him like we should, and let us learn from his word like he says we should. What about your motivation in the church? What is your motivation in the church? Are you bringing people to Christ and not pushing them away? You know, sometimes churches have the problem of not necessarily not going out and spreading the word, but sometimes people just walk in, not just curious, because people are curious. You know, they say that they know there's a God out there, and they may not just know him personally, but they know that a church is related to God. So if I want to know about God, I should go to a church. So maybe when the visitors come into your church, we should bring them to Christ and not just push them away. When that homosexual walks into your church, don't push him away because he's different. He's just a sinner just like you are. And he was saved, or he can be saved just like you can. Not only that, but are we ministering to their needs and not when it's easy for us? When that homosexual walks in and we try to teach him, not pridefully, and we say humbly, we minister to him or her, and we say, okay, dear God, help me to minister their needs, and help me not when it's easy for me. Because when it's hard for you, out of your comfort zone is when God likes to use you the most. Because whenever he brings you to the place, whenever you say, okay, dear God, I'm going to use me for all that you have for me, is when he can use us at his best. And when it's not easy for us is when it's easy for us to give it to him, right? Because when we're in uncharted territory, God's already been there, and he can help us into all that we are. Are we building each other up and not tearing them down? Okay, so the people came in, and they're saved, and now they're coming faithfully to church. Well, now let's build them up in Jesus Christ. Jesus, or God, said to bring your burdens into the church so that we might share the burdens. All right, let your prayer requests be made known so that we can pray for each other. All right, let's say Sister Susie is having just a rough time, and she has cancer or something, and how can we minister to her? She's a widower. And how can we, as men of God and of women of God, how can we minister to those needs that Sister Susie needs? How can we, when the orphan walks into the church, how can we minister to the needs of that orphan? How can we give of ourselves, unselfishly and unpridefully teach them the word of God so that they might be saved? Let's just make sure to build each other up, because sometimes it's easy when you have that heart of pridefulness to come in and someone says their problems and like, look at their problems. You know, I don't have those problems because I have Jesus, right? Sometimes we idolize Jesus Christ as not the Savior he should be, but sometimes we idolize him in that he's just ours, right? It's like all that we have. We wear the cross necklaces and we all that we are, but we're prideful and we're selfish in keeping him inside. But we need to proclaim him outwardly and build each other up in Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus Christ brings salvation. I want you to look at this. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says this. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now skip down to verse 19. A false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. If your motivation is Jesus Christ, you're not going to come in and speak lies when you teach. You're not going to come in and sow discord among the brethren, which really just means you're not going to start any drama within the church, right? If the preacher says something that you're kind of offended by, you're not going to raise up during the sermon and be like, oh, blasphemy, that's wrong, right? You're going to speak to him in private and say, all right, what is it that I don't understand that you're preaching to me, right? We don't want to sow discord among the brethren, right? Because sometimes there's that church member that he's not as faithful as you are, or she's not as faithful as you are, and you need to help them, right? We need to build each other up, not tear them down. Because That's when they let Satan into their hearts. When they let Satan into their hearts, and when they become a little bit prideful in themselves, you need to say, hey, listen, you're really struggling with this, and I want to help you so that we may reach others with the cause of Jesus Christ. Right? And the world out there, it's hard. It hurts. The world hurts. Right? We have a place to come, and we have a place to give our problems up while the world doesn't. Right? We have the bread of life, and the people out there, they're hungry and they're starving. So when the people come in and when the visitors come in, church, I want to say this. I want to say, feed them. Give Jesus Christ to those that are lost. And give Jesus Christ to those who need it. And lastly, I want to see the future. What will be the future of our church? One of the biggest things is not staying static. Because sometimes we get like 15 visitors one day, right? 15 visitors Sunday morning. Amen. Praise God. Great thing. And then we don't do anything to minister to their needs. Right? They come in and they all sit on the back row and we see them. We shake their hands maybe. We say, how are you? We get their name, but then we forget it when we go home, right? Because we're not really praying like we should be and say, all right, dear God, help me to minister to these people. Help me to give them the bread of life when they need it. Let's not stay static in that when we grow, we keep growing. Not that we grow and we say we're satisfied with where we are, but that we grow and as we minister to those people, they reach more people and then they reach more people. And that's how churches are made. And that's how Jesus Christ is proclaimed. That's how God is glorified. Are we bringing up others into the cause of Christ? I absolutely loved when these kids came up and sang. That it really warmed my heart. I mean, I was a kid not too long ago, and I remember going up there and having to do that. And I just want to thank you for your willing hearts, even if you were forced to do it, because God loved it. I will say that. But these kids up here, when they come up and they sing, are we bringing them up just like, are we nurturing them in our homes? Are we nurturing them in our churches just like we should be? Because listen, Jesus Christ, he was born of a carpenter, right? He doesn't use the unwilling, he uses the willing, right? And if you're going to be used for his purpose, if you want to bring your kids up in admiration and of the nourishment of Jesus Christ, then we need to have the right heart and have the right mindset to bring them up in the cause of Christ. Because even though they may be different, and even though some of the kids that walk in, they may smell bad, and they may not dress like you do, they need Jesus Christ more than you do. No, not necessarily like that, because God is a jealous God, and he loves you too, right? Not only that, but are we saving souls always? Saving souls, comma, always. Always saving souls. Because the reason that we are here is to see souls saved. The reason that we gather together as a congregation, and the reason that we come together in Jesus Christ is to see souls saved. Amen? Because if we're not actively going out and spreading the word of God, then who are we? We're just a static church who is dishonest with ourselves, who is prideful, and who doesn't give of ourselves up to Jesus Christ. But I pray that this church is not like that. I pray that we give of ourselves to Jesus Christ, that you guys would show out, go out, and you would preach the word. You would go therefore into all nations, into your community of Mulder, Oklahoma, and you would preach the word of God like Jesus said to. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save, not to sit down at a church pew every Sunday and get a little bit of Jesus Christ and then turn it off and you go home. Right? He wants us to be active Christians, wants us to be living for Jesus Christ just like we should be. I'll close with this. Dishonesty within the church causes divisions, altercations, and deviations from what God has called us as a church to be. I hope we never let dishonesty within our members cause us to stray away from what God has called us to be and can become in the future. Now, we talked a lot about how being a church member, but church membership really starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because Jesus Christ came some 2,000 odd years ago to save your soul. He came born of a Virgin Mary, so he didn't have the sin nature. He was born of a Virgin Mary, and he lived his whole life perfect so that you might see Jesus Christ. So he lived his whole life perfect because it took a perfect man to bear the weight of mankind, to bear the sin of mankind. And we looked at tonight at the dishonesty of the church, and dishonesty comes from, because dishonesty is a sin. And just like how you have a sin nature, whenever you do something wrong, whenever you tell a lie in the church, whenever you tell a lie to yourself, whenever you lie to your sibling, whenever you lie to your parent, whenever, whatever you do, it's a lie. Not all that you do is a lie, but all we do is sin. But Jesus Christ made a way out of that sin. Because dear God, because God took his son, Jesus Christ, he was born of a Virgin Mary, and he came and he died upon the cross. And he, at that moment, he was separated from Jesus Christ. I mean, he was separated from God. And he bore the weight of all mankind's sin. He took away all your sin. He took all your lies and all your sin. In your sin nature, in your decrepit state, he took your sin and he bore it on the cross so that we might have eternal life. And on that faithful day, he died. But then 3 days later, he rose again. And that's how I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, because he rose again on the third day. And I pray that for this church, we would have honesty in our hearts, but that we would go out and see souls saved, and that we may know in ourselves that we are saved, and have reassurance that we may go out and see other people saved. So as we prepare for this invitation, as our musicians come forward, I pray that in our hearts we would see that not only are we here for the glorification of Jesus Christ, we're here to see souls saved, and we're here to go out and to reach others into this community. I pray that is your prayer tonight as we prepare. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come to you now, Lord. Lord, the word has been shown. Lord, the word has been presented. And dear God, I pray all hearts would be open to it. Dear God, maybe some people need to come to the altar tonight, Lord, to give up their godly music, Lord. Maybe they haven't been raising their kids like they should be in Jesus Christ, Lord. But that can change tonight, because Jesus Christ is an awesome Savior. Dear God, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come together and to, Lord, just to fellowship together in worship, Lord, in preaching. Lord, may we never forget that Jesus Christ and seeing souls saved is our ultimate goal, and that we may minister to their needs, and that we may love you in all that we do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray now. Amen.